This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, I'm preaching to you on great grace, amen? And God is the God of miracles. Amen. And we believe that. The Bible says Jesus is the same. He's not the Jesus of I was. He's the Jesus of I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did miracles back then, he's still doing miracles today. Do you believe that? You may say, well, I don't need a miracle. Wait a while. You might need one. you never know when you might need a miracle. Amen? And I love this in Acts 4:33 because I really believe that God wants to bring miracle power of God's presence in the churches these days. Amen? And you might be dealing with some health issues, but I'm saying to you today, get ready for the suddenly. Get ready for God to heal you, deliver you, and set you free. Amen? And so I really believe that God is, especially in the last days, that he wants to put the power back into the church. Amen? And, I do funerals, but I don't like to do too many of them. I'd rather be celebrating with our living saints. Amen. And in Acts 4:33, it says, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. Great power and great grace go hand in hand. What is God's power of grace used for? You might ask. God's power is designed to set the captives free. We live in a world, and this world is not perfect. And we encounter problems. Has anybody encountered any problems lately? And sometimes we encounter problems with our health. Amen? Because there's a devil out here trying to take our health away. But there's a good Jesus that's trying to give us healing. Do you believe that today? And let's look at what Peter prayed. Now, Peter and John were walking to the gate called Beautiful, and they healed a man there that was begging. And the religious Pharisees, they hated Jesus even after Jesus went to the cross. And they were preaching in Jesus' name. And so the Pharisees, you know, told Peter and John not to preach in Jesus' name, but let them go. And now we're focusing in on now Peter's back at the church. And he said, and he's praying a prayer. He says, now look at their threats in Acts 4:29, 30. Now look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So I'm going to say this. Whenever you are encountering a battle and the devil wants to put fear on some of us, whenever he gives us a bad doctor's report or when you're dealing with issues in your health, the devil wants to put fear in us, but I'm going to say that you got to get courage in your life. And Peter prayed for boldness. So I'm going to say that's a prayer that we all should be praying every day. Lord, give me boldness. Because the devil's trying to work out here in fear. And notice what he's also said. He also said here in the prayer by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the holy servant of Jesus. So this is interesting because I really believe that the church should be walking in signs, wonders, and miracles. Can I get an amen on that? We should be walking in signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? And let's look at the result of this prayer. Now I'm going to say this. Pray for boldness. And pray that miracles are happening every day in your lives. Now, you may not need a miracle, but you might run into somebody that might need a miracle. And so this message is not just for you needing a miracle. This message is for you that you might be in a position to pray for somebody to get a miracle. Amen. Can I get an amen there? Because we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Do you believe that today? He's the head, we're the body. So how does Jesus work? Through us. And so that's why the Bible says we need to go out and pray for the sick. Amen. And in Acts 5:12, it says, "Oh, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Notice this. "And through the hands of the apostles, and many signs and wonders were done among the people." Now, we know that the apostles had the power, but I'm going to say this. Jesus gave us the power, too. Somebody say, "I have the power." And you have the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You can even lay hands on yourself. Do you know that? You can pray for yourself. So the signs and wonders are proof that God is on the throne. His delivering power is proof. And in Acts 5:16, it says, "Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people," because this is what the power is for, "bringing sick people to those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." So we see here that was a healing church. And I believe that God's raising up healing churches in the last days. I want Exceed Life Church to be known as a miracle healing church. You might come in sick, but you're going to leave well. Amen. You might come in maybe vexed, but those devils cannot hang around you because the power of God is knocking them out. Amen. Amen. So I love that. So if we're going to walk in great grace for healing, we must follow the apostles' ways by praying and believing for great grace to be in our lives, for the healing power to be resident. Amen. You know, Jesus, would you say Jesus walked in great grace? Amen. Jesus walked in great grace, and we need to follow his example. It says here that we know that Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days, and he combat the devil in those 40 days. Amen. And he combat the devil, and he revealed through the word of God that the word is more powerful than the devil's deceptions. Amen. And Jesus was filled with power going through the wilderness. Amen. And if you're going to walk in great grace, you're going to have to learn to separate yourself from worldliness. Jesus went into the wilderness and separated himself. Not only did he separate himself from worldliness, he separated himself from food for a period of time. So if you're going to walk in great grace, you might need to separate yourself, number one. And number two, if you're going to walk in great grace, you might need to fast every once in a while. Oh, man, that went over like a lead balloon. Pastor, can you talk to me about feasting instead of fasting? You know, we all want to feast. We all like feasting. We like feeding our flesh. How many people like food out here? Amen. And we all like food. You say, "Are you kidding, Pastor?" But we need to learn sometimes when we're encountering battles that's coming against us or our loved ones, sometimes we need to separate ourselves and get with God. Amen. Sometimes we need to separate ourselves and maybe push the plate away. Amen. And in Luke 4:14-15, it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and the news of him went out through the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." So great grace, when it's upon us, will empower us to preach to those around us. I'm going to say again, when you start praying for people and they start getting healed, you get excited about praying for people. Amen. Is that right? And when you start seeing God's power working in your life, then it gets exciting to be a Christian. Amen. Amen? And so I'm telling you, in this Christmas season, we need to demonstrate the love of God by ministering the word to those that may be in need of healing and deliverance. Never pass up an opportunity to pray for somebody. Never pass up an opportunity to give the word to somebody. Amen? And so I'm telling you, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says, and the word of our testimony. So in Luke 4:16, it says here, so he came to Nazareth when he was been brought up, as his custom was, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood and read. This is interesting that Jesus had a custom of going to church. Think about that. Jesus went to the synagogue. It was his custom. And I believe the reason why Jesus walked in great grace, not only that he was able to separate himself to the Lord from people and fast, but he was a church goer. And I'm going to say this, that if you're going to walk in the power and presence of God, continue going to church. Amen. That's a good plug. Amen. Continue to go to church. Because in church, you're going to receive the anointing, the presence, and the power of God to not only get you through the week, but help other people get through life. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love that. So if you want great grace to be amped up in your life, continue to go to church. Amen. And in Luke 4:17, it says he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me." I'm going to say this. Great grace in our lives caused the anointing of God to be on our lives. And I believe there's levels of grace. Somebody say, I'm anointed. You are anointed, glory to God. And the anointing of God is God's power and his presence to be on your lives. And that power and presence of God will produce powerful delivering results in you and in others. Do you believe that today? I believe that today. And it says here in Isaiah 10:27, talking about the anointing, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So I'm going to say this, that the anointing, it's God's power. It's his yoke destroying, burden removing, power of God working in our lives. Do you believe that today? Say, I have the anointing. So let's look at what the grace of God can produce in a person's life. Jesus said to preach the gospel to the poor. So God's grace empowers us to break the power of poverty and lack off of our lives and the lives of others. Do you believe that today? In other words, God, you know, poverty is a curse. Lack is a curse. Prosperity is a blessing. Do I have to preach that? I think anybody would know that having money is nice to have your needs taken care of. Amen? And I did not take a vow of poverty. Some people take a vow of poverty. I'm taking a vow of prosperity. Is that okay? Amen. I believe that God wants me blessed. I believe he wants my kids blessed. I believe he wants my family blessed. Do you believe that? Can I get an amen on here? Amen. So the anointing breaks the power of lack off of a person's life. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Amen. I got it out. Amen. So it's saying here that Jesus became poor. Now, some would teach that Jesus was poor all through his ministry, but we know he couldn't be poor if he took care of 12 men and fed them and took care of them for 3 years and they had a treasure. Amen? He was poor when he got to the cross. Amen? When he was stripped from his clothing. That's when he became impoverished, was at the cross. And that's where he took on the poverty of mankind, but so that he could give us the riches of heaven. Somebody say, I have the riches of heaven. Glory to God. In 3 John 1:2, this is John. And he was very close to Jesus. John was probably one of the closest apostles to Jesus. He was the only one that outlived all the other apostles. Amen? John, they couldn't kill him. Amen? Because he walked in love. But he had this revelation from the Lord in 3 John 1:2. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Now he's saying he wishes above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So John got the revelation that God wants us prospering in this life. Amen. Amen. And I believe that he said that as your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper in here? Your soul is your mind, your will. Your soul prospers through the Word of God, through prayer, through praise, through witnessing. That's how your soul prospers. Amen. By walking out the works of God in your life. Amen. Can I get a witness? And when you're walking in love towards the body of Christ and towards people, your soul will prosper and God will prosper you. You believe that today? Amen. Number two, here, Jesus, that the great grace, he says here, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So God's great grace heals broken and wounded hearts. So God's great grace will heal a person's broken heart. Has your heart ever been broken in here? Has anybody ever did anything that hurt you? That did something that really caused a lot of pain in your life? Well, God wants to heal broken hearts. And great grace, his great grace will heal any broken heart, will mend every broken heart. Do you believe that today? In Isaiah 61:3, it says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, that the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So I love that. Somebody say beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. So God wants to give us beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. You know, the Bible says, you know, there is a process of when we're encountering problems, that there is a process where we may be weeping, where we may be in a struggle. But you know what? Weeping may endure in the night, but what happens in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. Glory to God. So there is a process where we go through, and it might be a painful process, but when you get through the pain, you'll have the promise. I'm going to say that again. When you get through the pain of life, you'll have the promises of God. Amen? God's great grace erases. This is another thing that God's great grace will do in healing broken hearts. He will erase our past. I'm going to say this. You don't have a past. All you have is a future. Amen. Glory to God. Your past is wiped away by the blood of Jesus. So we don't focus on the past or past mistakes. We focus on the future that God has for us. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, it says, "Do not remember the former things." Notice this. He's saying, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall come; it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in deserts." I love that. So it might look like a wilderness. You might look like you're going through a desert today, but God's going to change the whole surface of what's going on. Glory to God. And he's going to spring forth speedily, and he's going to make a road in the wilderness, and he's going to give you rain in your dry land. You got to believe that. Somebody say, send the rain. Jesus said also, great grace, he said, to proclaim liberty to captives. God's great grace sets us free from bondages of sin in our lives. In other words, if you've been saved for a while, you know every once in a while the flesh will try to control you. And sometimes the devil will try to tempt you. And he will try to tempt you to do the wrong things. Have anybody ever been tempted to do the wrong thing? I'm not in this church. Not in this church, glory to God. You're beyond temptation. No, we're all tempted at times in our lives, and sometimes we get tempted to do the wrong things, but great grace empowers us to override sin in our lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I'm telling you, it says in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you are under grace. Somebody say, I'm under grace. And you're under the great grace of God. That's the same grace that worked in the early church is working in our lives today. You got to believe that. That great grace, God's grace has not waned. I believe that the Bible says that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. In other words, God's power is going higher, not lower, in the last days. Can I get a witness in the house today? In other words, his power did not go out with the last apostle. Amen. Some people will preach that. There's no more miracles. The last apostle died. And that's done with the miracles. No. Miracles are coming forth just like the miracle we heard today. Amen. And God is working miracles in suddenlies. Amen. In John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I love that. And God's grace opens physical and spiritual blind eyes. In other words, Jesus said it recovers sight to the blind. So I believe that God wants to open up spiritual eyes in the last days, and God wants to open up blind eyes in the last days. You believe that today? I'm telling you, I'm getting up there in age. My birthday's coming up. Today is my spiritual birthday. I have two birthdays. If you're saved, you should have two birthdays. You should have a spiritual birthday the day that you were born again and the day that you were born here on earth. Amen? And today is my spiritual birthday. In 1986, December 7th, I got born again. Glory to God. Amen. And water baptized that night. Glory to God. And I can't even count how many years ago that was. 39 years. And I'm still running hard after God. 39 years, and I'm not letting go of God. Amen? Glory to God. And I love this because God's grace opens physical and spiritual eyes, His great grace. In Acts 26:18, it says here, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So what is he saying? We need to be praying that our relatives that are lost, that aren't with Jesus, that their eyes will be open to God's truth. Amen. We need to be praying for our loved ones every day that their eyes, that the scales of unbelief will be removed from their eyes and that they will see in a different light. Amen. We need to be praying. I pray constantly for those that are in my family that's away from God. And I'm believing that their spiritual eyes will be open. Jesus says in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And God's word is light. And it will bring light unto the paths that we walk on. And the paths that we walk on will be ordained by God as long as our eyes are open to His truth every day. Amen. Somebody say, my eyes are open to God's truth. So Jesus said to set to liberty those who are oppressed. God's great grace sets us free from the bondage of sickness. Can I get a witness in the house today? In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So it says here that Jesus was anointed I'm saying with great grace to heal the sick. And I'm telling you that that anointing is still upon us today because we're the body of Christ. You believe that today? And I love this. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So his great grace heals our body. Even though you might be dealing with symptoms in your body, his grace is working, moving those symptoms out of your body. And pretty soon there's a suddenly that comes in and suddenly you're healed. Suddenly the power of God comes in. Suddenly you're moving in great grace of health and healing. Glory to God. Now the great grace I'm talking about is divine health. Amen. Amen. Grace is healing. Great grace is divine health. That means you don't get sick. Amen. That's where I want to lead you to, a place where you're very rarely, if at all, getting sick. Glory to God. That's where we need to go. Amen. Where we're not maybe, I know we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. Amen. Somebody say divine health. Amen. Where we get sick less and less. Glory to God. God's been keeping me, hallelujah. Some of my family members have been dealing with issues, but thank God I have divine protection over me, amen? And of course, I'm praying for them too. And yeah, sometimes sickness will come, but it has to go, amen? And so also great grace and favor are on those that make Jesus their Lord. Jesus says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, we are living under the age of grace. We are living under God's favor. Do you believe that today? And if you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have the favor of God working on your lives. You believe that today? Somebody say, I have God's favor on my life. And in Psalms 5:12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Amen. God's favor, amen, is upon the church. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say this. God's favor will satisfy us and strengthen us in the toughest of times. You believe that today? In Isaiah 58:11, it says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. That means you could be in a hard time, but God will still be feeding your soul in the hard times of life. He will strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. Glory to God. God's favor on us will cause answer prayers to be delivered from trouble. Glory to God. That's his favor. It says in Psalms 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him and I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. So God's favor delivers us from trouble and gives us long life. Hallelujah. God's favor on us will cause good things to work out on our behalf, no matter what the devil or life is throwing at us. God's favor will cause the good to work in our lives. You believe that today? Even though it may look like some things that are coming in our lives are bad, God can turn the bad to good. Amen. Do you believe that today? He can turn the evil things that the devil will try to do, and he'll change your misery into a ministry. Glory to God. Do you believe that today? And I believe that your test will become your testimony. Do you believe that today? And forget about the monies. Forget about the monies. It's a testimony. Amen. Glory to God. Your test is not going to turn into monies. Amen. Glory to God. And so we know this in Romans 8:28. It says, we know all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Glory to God. So Jesus' mission is to set people free from the curse that's in this fallen world system. Amen. Notice again in Acts 4:33, and with great grace and power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. How do you activate the great grace of God? You activate the great grace of God by using the name of Jesus. Peter and John at the temple of Acts 3, there was a man that was an invalid. He was begging at the church, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I do I have, I give unto thee. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus." And in that name, the power of that name raised that man up, and he started skipping, hopping, jumping, and dancing in the church. And that's the way we need to be when we get to church. Skipping, hopping, dancing. Amen. Excited about being in church. Glory to God. And he got his healing. He was a beggar, but he's not a beggar any longer. Amen. And so great grace is activated by using Jesus' name. Great grace is activated by speaking God's word. You need to be speaking God's word every day. As you speak God's word of his promises, of your healing, you will eventually see it, even though you may not see it yet. Keep speaking the word. Don't give up. Don't let go. Keep pressing in until you see the fullness of the promise in your lives. Glory to God. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are lives. Life. So we see this, that Jesus' word is spirit and life. So as you speak Jesus' word out of your mouth, you are speaking spirit and life, and it will destroy any natural thing that's coming against your lives. You believe that today? Glory to God. So we activate God's power and it by speaking his word. Surely he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. You know how many times I've quoted that in my life? Thousands. Thousands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because I'm going to say this, that I was pronounced with cancer over 3 years ago, and I had cancer, but I don't have it anymore. Glory to God. I mean, look at me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm telling you, the doctors were amazed of my recovery, and they didn't realize that I had Jesus in my boat. And I'm telling you, I'm not just a cancer survivor, glory. Some say I'm a cancer survivor. No, I'm a faith liver, glory to God. I'm living and walking in faith, glory to God. And cancer has no power over Pastor David, amen? Glory to God. I'm telling you, there were some nights of nights of crying, but I woke up in the morning with joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And my doctor told me just recently, I don't even have to see her anymore. Glory to God. Just take the blood work. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that powerful? Glory to God. So I'm saying God is working miracles. You're listening to a pastor that's been through some stuff. You want a pastor that's been through some stuff and made it through. And made it through, glory to God. I've been through some stuff, and I've helped you go through some stuff, and you are going to make it through your test and your trial. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you praise God, if you thank God, if you give him praise and honor, he will do the miracles. You believe that today? Jesus had to raise Lazarus from the dead. And before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, "Father, I thank you that you always hear me." And he thanked the Father, and then he did the miracle. And I want to say this to you. If you just start thanking God, that not for what you're dealing with, but what he's getting you out of, what you're going through, you're going to come out shining on the other side, smelling like a rose. Do you believe that today? Glory to God. So when we discover today that great grace is propagated by us separating ourselves to God, great grace brings us out of poverty into prosperity. Great grace heals our broken hearts from hurt relationships. Great grace sets us and others free from the effects of sin. Great grace opens spiritual and physical eyes. Great grace sets us and others free from sickness. And great grace produces God's favor in our lives as well as others. And we activate this by using the name of Jesus, by speaking the word of God, and by keep praising and worshiping God. I declare that great grace is on each one of you. And no matter what you may be encountering or dealing with, God's going to bring you through it. And he's going to bring you through it to the other side. Do you believe that today? And no weapon formed against you shall prosper in Jesus' name. I believe that. No weapon. No weapon, glory to God. And you need to start confessing that with boldness. No weapon formed against me, my family, the church, shall prosper in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Always add the name of Jesus to your confessions. Always add the name of Jesus. And God is working miracles in Exceed Life Church, and we haven't seen anything yet. The best is yet to come. You believe that today? Did you receive it this morning? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that great grace is upon each one of us. And perhaps you're here in the audience or maybe listening or watching, and you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ. Well, today is the day of salvation. I want to lead you in a simple prayer that will bring you into a relationship with God the Father through his son Jesus. Just if you're ready to receive Jesus today, just say this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you can grow in Christ. If you're here locally, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We want to have you come out and be a part of the church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ. Thank you for being a part of the service today, and be with us next week at the same time. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.